dinner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising
podcast about sex, love, and dating.
From the perspective of two black women who self-identify as hoes, polyamorous, live in New York City. And today, like every day since the beginning, we've had Lucas.
Hey man. Lucas.
We're going to start introducing him because he's an essential part of our team. And he deserves to get famous just like we are becoming famous.
Woo! This is fame, bro. This is fame. What it is.
Ah, Kanye.
Yeah. Anyway. If you would like to follow along with this podcast, the conversation had, you can do so by hashtagging InnerHo Uprising on, you know, whatever you're using, your social mediums.
Bay of the Week?
Bay of the Week this week is Crystal from a rival podcast known as The Read. A little known podcast known as The Read that we are rivaling. Crystal was on Drunk History again. She did one really cool Drunk History episode about Harriet Tubman, and she did another episode this week about Stonewall Riots and Marsha P. Johnson, and it was fucking hilarious. Did you get a chance to see it?
I didn't, but I will. I want to rewatch, like, just watch the whole thing again, because I used to watch it so frequently, and then I just stopped. So now that I'm seeing all the things on the subway, I'm just going to watch it.
Drunk History is a good show.
It's so fucking amazing. Ho of the Week.
Ho of the Week. Is Tony
Y.
Huh?
A Y, like the letter Y. I don't want to say her last name, but I think.
Since her last name is F***.
Ooh. I have this weird thing where I think that letters are not what they actually are. So.
Anyway. So Tony just hit us up on the Facebook Live thing that we do before we record. You guys can always check that out at facebook.com/smanners, which is my personal Facebook. Get to know me. She just commented, I love you guys so much. I'm obsessed with our, she said, our podcast. Tony thinks we do this
Wait
together.
A second.
Maybe Tony shouldn't be home of the week. Maybe Tony
should hijack this shit. She's not even from here.
She's not from this country. Tony's an immigrant. No. I legit won't hang out with my friends in real life because I would much rather clean my room and listen to IHU. Wagwan all the way from Montreal,
Yay.
Canada. Love you, Tony.
Yeah, we do.
But don't stalk Wagwan. Us.
This isn't your podcast.
I love our podcast so much. Am I right, guys? Am
we
I
put
right?
So much work into this.
Self-care tip of the week?
Self-care tip of the week comes from a moment... A dark moment this week. It's this. The tip is basically, it's okay to be a fake ass petty ass bitch.
Yeah.
Because really, you're not a fake ass petty ass bitch. But sometimes you're in situations where, if someone's like, you don't want to talk to somebody, or they're just not going to leave you alone unless you're just like, nope, I agree with you, or let's agree to disagree. Because sometimes when you say I agree to disagree, it's just like, wait, but let's keep arguing. Sometimes you just have to be like, you know, yeah, you're right. You got a good point there. Even if the point is not great, it is shitty, it is misogynistic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to decide, I'm going to be fake, I'm going to be petty, I'm going to say, you know what, let's be friends, when really, you're going to hate them for the rest of their days on Earth.
until you kill them.
Until you end you from it. But, but it's totally okay to be ingenuine, because what you are, like, being true to is the fact that you need to preserve your sense of peace. Mm-hmm. If you're having a conflict with somebody at work or who's close to you, and, like, you're better off lying than you are being honest sometimes, I think. And it's okay to, don't hate yourself for doing it, because you're just trying to be okay. And I think that's totally fine.
Okay.
Yeah. This came after a really frustrating conversation I had with someone, and I looked in the mirror, and I was just like, I'm a fake-ass bitch, and I'm okay with that.
I'm a fago.
Pay a bitch.
Wow, it's not there yet.
Yeah, right. No, we're not giving up on this paper. So, guys, we are looking for your money. Thank you for...
Where is it?
Someone Where just gave us 10 bucks recently. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You too can contribute $1, $2. Yeah. What it really will do is help us pay Lucas when we're not even paid ourselves.
Yeah,
Lucas
and SoundCloud.
Lucas is the highest grossing member of this organization.
Yeah, you're really, you're making a lot over there, Lucas. How do you feel? It's like, I feel poor. I too feel broke.
I feel hungry. And
I start making it rain like $3.
That's the truth, though.
Yeah.
I can only make it rain quarters.
I can make it rain a Metro card. One. That's it. Is there anything on it?
You guys can donate to our PayPal.
At paypal.me/innerho.
We are also considering making extra content for you guys to check out. Would you guys be into that shit? Question mark?
Yay or nay?
Yay or nay, if you want to hear more things from us, about us, by us.
FUBU. For us. For us, by us.
That's what FUBU is?
Yeah.
All right.
Now on to fuck that. Now on to fuck that. Current events, topics of the week.
Yes, I'm very embarrassed by it. I hate it, but it's locker room talk, and it's one of those things. I will knock the hell out of ISIS. We're going to defeat ISIS. ISIS happened.
Trigger warning for sexual assault.
Trump. Am I right? That's it.
That's really what he's become at this point.
He's done a lot.
There's a lot of things written here.
So, yeah, there's a lot written here. So, basically, he has been accused of sexual assault. So, there's so...
As he actually talked about this.
Which one? There was one of the rape
cases. He talked about three rape cases several months ago, but everybody was like, we don't want to believe the inner hoes. We still think Trump is a good guy. He would never assault anybody. But now the chickens come home to fucking roost, goddammit. We told you, and you didn't listen. Except for the fact that you did listen.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
So I think the Miss America situation is the most recent Trump.
Well, I think there was all these grab allegations.
Grabbed by the pussy.
Yes, that is, which we all know. We don't have to go into. They said that was like the most trending election story of all time.
Which is, well.
Of all elections ever.
Which is, well, we have the internet, and it's, like, I feel like the internet is just changing now, so I feel like that makes sense. I think the idea of trending things is a recent thing.
That does make sense.
But it is a pretty big fucking deal. So, Trump has at least 11 charges of, not charges, accusations of sexual assault against him. Four women have confirmed that he walked in on them at the Miss, it wasn't Miss America, it's one of those pageants.
He does Miss Universe.
Miss Universe, one of those things. Four women have said that he walked in
on them?
Yeah, he said he would just...
Changing?
Yeah, he said he would just go in to make sure things were going well, but women were just changing. Three women who didn't want to be named, BuzzFeed also confirmed the story. Mm-hmm. The allegations range from the 1980s to 2013. So
he's probably assaulting someone right now. This very moment,
he has like what's this modus operandi? Is that phrase? Mm. He just does like the same fucking shit. So he's some of Trump's favorite things to do. So in the 1980s, this is just a list of some of the shit Trump has done.
Yeah.
That way, you're like, you know what? I always thought this guy was skeevy, but I never had time to look up all of the shit he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Here is very quickly all of the shit he's done, or at least some of the ones that I think are. Super notable.
This is probably like 0.5% of all the shit that he's
Doing.
He's probably like a Cosby-esque individual.
Yeah. I was actually thinking when I was doing this, like, at least this is a little easier than Cosby because it's not so much, but it's like...
just keep going down the rabbit hole.
1980s, a woman, Jessica Leed, was on a plane with him, sitting next to Trump. Trump lifted up the arm thing and just started groping her, touched her breasts and touched her vagina. I believe it's the vag, but definitely touched her breast, and she said he
grabbed
was
her by the pussy.
Yeah,
this is it. This is it.
He's describing.
It's not
what
just
he's
locker
done.
Room talk. He literally
it's locker room. It's airplane action.
That's
so cheesy. So he said he was like an octopus. His hands were everywhere.
Ew! God, that's fucking disgusting.
His first wife. That's Ivanka, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then Melania is his current.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ivanka, she described in a sexual encounter with him as rape. She backtracked it, but said that it was devoid of the love and tenderness that they usually shared, which to me seems that she was uncomfortable during a sexual encounter with her husband and was unable to stop it.
Feels rapey.
Yeah, it sounds rapey. So that was a thing that happened. There was a woman named Kristen Anderson in the 1990s at this place called the China Club. She was sitting next to Trump, didn't know that he was there until his hand was up her skirt.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so he just went up her skirt and touched her vagina. 1993, the year of my birth, makeup artist Jill Harth accused him of attempted rape.
Mm-hmm.
She was over at their place with a boyfriend. Boyfriend was in the other room, and I think he was in his daughter's room with her and, like, pushed her up against the wall and started, like, trying
to
assault
her. Same thing
that
happened to that other woman.
He does very similar things.
Where he was in the room, in the house with her partner or whatever.
Yeah, he's... Gets off on the power and like the
yeah exactly.
1997, Miss Teen USA. So that Trump walked into the dressing room. Girls who were getting dressed were as young as 15. He allegedly said, "Don't worry, ladies, I've seen it all before."
So why the fuck are you walking in here? aren't you like a billionaire who is just the owner of this thing? Why is he like wraggling people together?
Yeah, you don't know the fucking body.
He's not the manager of the show or anything like that, though.
Yeah,
why is he knocking on there?
Yeah, you're not a woman who's in charge of getting people. Like, it's not your job to
be here to right violate now. People. You just pay for this to happen.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So that's so creepy to me. 1997, Temple Taggart McDowell said that Trump kissed her without his consent. Her consent. Mm. She said embraced her. And then just kissed her on the lips. She was 21. He does that. But that's like a consistent thing that he has done is just kiss people on the mouth without.
Did you see that picture where he, not picture, video where he was like trying to kiss his daughter?
And she was just like, no.
Ew.
Which, and that means something. When your daughter is disgusted by you that much, that even with cameras around, she won't even pretend to fucking be down with you. 2003, Mindy McGillivray claims that she was grew up at a place called Mar-a-Lago, which I believe was Trump's something, some place Trump owned.
Mm-hmm.
Says that Trump just grabbed her ass frequently, tried to kiss her. 2005. Sorry, I'm so used to the 20 teens. 2005, woman named Rachel Crooks, Trump forcibly kissed her. 2005, which is the Howard on the Howard Stern show, Trump said he would go backstage and watch women as they got dressed. So that's when he admitted. That's the thing where he admitted to doing that. 2005 is the Access Hollywood grab him by the pussy thing, which came out recently. Mm-hmm. 2005 again, Natasha Stoyanov. Hey, I said that right, I think. People magazine reporter said that he pushed her up against the wall and started to kiss her. 2007, Summer Zervos, former Apprentice contestant, went to a golf course to discuss a potential job. With him, and he tried to forcibly kiss her. Later came into the room and just started, like, thrusting genitals, his dick ball situation.
Ew!
At her. And then was just like, I think afterwards was just like, you don't know what real love is.
He said that to her?
That, yeah, allegedly. That's what she says, which I believe. I totally believe.
What does it even mean?
Who knows?
Is he trying to be poetic?
Like, I'm a poetic rapist. I give you insights into the human condition with my actions and my words. 2010, Aaron Burnett, CNN anchor, relayed a story from a friend saying that he was sitting next to Aaron Burnett's friend, popped a Tic Tac, said that she should pop a Tic Tac, and then tried to kiss her, which is weird. Just like, hey, you want some gum? No? Well, all right, I guess I'll just go with it.
Is his mouth perpetually on stink? That he always, like, needs these fucking Tic Tacs, too.
He's so disgusting.
Everything about him is gross.
Yeah. Yeah, he's terrible. 2013, former Miss Washington says that he was always touching her inappropriately and trying to invite her back to his hotel room.
The thing about his Access Hollywood speech is that he literally defined, like, patriarchy and the fact that patriarchy plus money and economic power can, like, absolve you of rape. Because he's like, oh, they're just so rich, they let you kiss them and grab them by the pussy or whatever. It's not that they're letting you do that. You have the fucking power to shut them up about it.
Exactly. Like, if I was in a situation where, like, if Trump was coming onto me or doing something like that, I would be very scared to even say anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the money to sue this man. This man has more money than I'll ever see in my life.
Probably.
Unless I drown in a money lake when I'm rich. But that's it. So that's like a summation. You can find all of these stories anywhere online. There's like PBS has a good like list of all of them with more details.
Yeah.
But just wanted to go through them quickly.
Yeah.
And despite this, there was still a hashtag women who, I feel like it's women who vote for Trump or women voting for Trump. I think it's women who are for Trump and it is as ignorant as you think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, we're tired. We're not like those women who are playing the victim. So that's why we're voting for Trump because we weren't molested by him. So we're strong. A lot of like, we're educated about the real issues. What are these real issues? And it's usually the same racist, like, you know, we hate immigrants. We hate Muslims. We hate, black people. So,
it's just like, if there's someone who literally doesn't respect women in his personal day-to-day life, why would you think he would make any type of policies to actually benefit women?
Yeah. No,
I don't know what the fuck his policies are, because he usually says nothing about everything, but
he's going to destroy ISIS.
That was so disturbing to me when he was asked that question and he just started talking about that. I was like, am I high? Did I miss something here? It can't be this stupid. But it in fact was that fucking stupid.
It's going down in the textbooks.
There's like that point about all of the fucking Republican politicians who have like pulled out or whatever. pulled support from Trump. I think Trevor Noah was doing this thing and he was like looking at their actual policies or whatever, and like most of them are for like defunding Planned Parenthood and shit like that. And it's just like the fact that everyone knew this about Donald Trump in the first place. Like, this is the whole Republican Party does not care about women. I don't know why.
It doesn't.
I don't know why it matters now. I mean, it matters, but I don't know why everyone's talking about it now, because the Access Hollywood thing didn't seem out of the realm of anything that he's ever done before.
I think it might just, it's so clear now that you can't like
ignore it.
I don't know, but it's always been hard to ignore.
It's always been there. It's like what the media chooses to pick up, because honestly, like, this tape was like circulating. I don't know who the first outlet to release it was, but it was like circulating around the main outlets for months now. Like, mad people knew that this existed. That's why it just seems like politics is all a fucking lie, and it's like, well, we want moderate Hillary in office, so we're gonna just drop this final bomb to get it going. Not that we actually care about women or anything like that.
Yeah, I totally feel very like, like, I try to be informed, but I feel like I'm actually, I try to arm myself with knowledge, but I just can't trust when things arrive. Like, sometimes people, like hope that they're like, oh, the placement, like, the timing of this thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Like, because people have known that Trump is shit for a while, and this tape has existed for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm.
Decade. Yeah, decade.
A literal decade. 11 years, actually.
Why wasn't this the first thing? People have been investigating him. Yeah, no, I feel you.
Yeah.
Trump is also a racist, as we all know.
sorry. It's just always been known.
Miss Teen USA, 17, fuck, I knew I'd forget to write her name down. A black woman was told before she met Trump that Mr. Trump doesn't like black people, so don't take it the wrong way if he isn't extremely welcome towards you. If he is, then you might just be the kind of black, that he likes.
What a coon.
Oh, man.
Probably, right?
Right? Yeah. So apparently, so she heard that, and then, like, on stage, like, he, like, saw, like, one of the black female contestants turn around, like, made a vomiting motion.
Oh, my God.
Like, just snubbed her in, like, a disgusting way. But he did like her. He did like this woman, Miss Washington. And so she felt like she was happy at first, because she was like, oh, well,
I'm one of the good ones.
Yeah. But then she's like, there's nothing to be happy or excited about. I'm sharing the story now because people need to know that he's a piece of shit. And unfortunately, people know he's a piece of shit. This is like a reason why people would support him.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, he's also racist. Like, we talk about him being sexist, but he's racist, and the racist sexist intersection exists.
In regards to like tapes and racism, there's like another tape where he says the word nigger, but they haven't released it yet. What the fuck are you waiting for? Tuesday night before the next debate.
Yeah.
It's like dumb. Like, we've all known these things.
Selection is it's like a drama.
Yeah, it's literally media, you know?
It's
entertainment.
Yeah, like the way, like all the ads for it, it's just like dun 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 dun. like the music in the ad.
Yeah, it is.
And then like when we came into the first debate and Anderson Cooper was like, let's discuss the tapes. And then which
it was scandal.
I'm not gonna lie.
Scandal.
It did feel very scandal. And I'm not gonna lie, the payoff, like I was like, oh shit, what's gonna happen here?
Let me get my fucking popcorn.
There's a part where the audience was just like, literally like, oh!
Yeah.
Like, what am I watching?
Didn't we tell you to be quiet?
It was
mayhem over there.
It was. Yeah. Oh my God. And then I liked Hillary's moment where it's like, say one thing that you respect about each other. And Hillary was just like, I respect his children.
She had bars.
Yeah.
She had bars. She's going toe-to-toe. This is not related to anything. There was a fly on Hillary Clinton's
face.
I
saw that.
I thought it was my TV because didn't react.
So
and then it memeified and people started talking about it. It was like, oh, we all saw the fly.
So you know she's a dead corpse.
She's a robot.
She's dead.
Damn.
She's been sent to take over.
We can say mean things about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
right?
We can. I'm still going to vote for her. What the fuck?
Yeah. Or I'm going to write myself in.
I mean, we can do that here
in
this state.
Can write in D's nuts. Because in New York,
that's
it doesn't
when you have
matter.
To Snapchat your ballot. Like, oh, I'm funny. Look how clever.
I'm wasting. How many people fought and died for this, right? Well, fuck this
All
shit
the
up.
Ancestors just rolling over in their graves.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You're going to get D's nuts elected.
He actually has a very good Social Security.
This Uncle Luke thing was another story that was trending after fucking Grab Her by the Pussy Gate came out. Uncle by the Luke. Uncle Luke is that guy who makes that song Doo Doo Brown.
I don't know.
I had a feeling you wouldn't, so I'll sing it for you. Don't stop, pop that pussy, let me see you doo-doo brown.
I want to know that song.
Yeah, and it's like fucking filthy, right? So there's a story that came out, I didn't really read the article too much, but there's a story that came out that Uncle Luke said he wouldn't attend Trump parties because they were too crazy for him. In the 90s, oh, no. Uncle Luke was like crazy, like the first guy to have like actual asses out in videos and just like big old booties twerking in the water, like mad wild shit going on. And he's saying that Trump's parties are too crazy for him. Meanwhile, Trump is the type of guy, like, in the 90s, there were, like, staunch conservatives trying to, like, censor Uncle Luke's music and stuff like that, and yet this is probably the candidate that they're voting for,
yeah.
And this man couldn't even attend his parties, and we talked about Trump's parties in the past, and it was, like, I think, what were we talking about, that billionaire pedophile rapist or something like that, where he would, like, fucking coerce girls into doing things at parties and stuff.
Oh,
and Trump would attend those parties and run in that circle.
Yeah, he's
and one guy had like
accused.
A plane that was like flying with like underage girls to the Virgin Islands and shit like that. Bill Clinton was also on that plane. It's just all fucked up.
Yeah, he's also, oh, by the way, he's also been accused of raping a 13-year-old girl. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
It seems like this could go
at
on
at one
forever.
Of those parties.
Yeah.
This could go on forever.
So Trump is a shitty man.
Supporters are shitty. Republicans are shitty.
And I don't Democrats think that anyone's. I'm Media curious to know when we do our survey, how many Black Republicans do we have listening to this?
I'm sure there are at least 10.
The original vision was always to create something that people could find a relationship from. And over time, people would start to use it not just for dating, but just for fun or for hookups or for whatever.
In dating apps!
Yeah.
Completely. And let's talk about consensual relationships and things going well.
Woo!
Consent. So Hinge is a dating app. Used to be like a Tinder situation. Apparently it was like the app that was getting the most relationships out of it or the most connections, mm-hmm. which this app rates that based on like after a swipe, how many things, like how many people had two-way conversations and then how many people had numbers exchanged.
Mm-hmm.
So Hinge was doing pretty well. But so wow. Basically, yeah, it was our. I'd have never heard of it, which is
me neither. It means it must be like rich.
Yeah, it must. Yeah, right. It's just for the people who were people who use it seem to be very like Wall Street-y people.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, so Hinge recently was a regular ass dating app, hookup style app. Decided to entirely change its platform.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to end what it calls the dating apocalypse and put an end to swipe culture. At least it doesn't want to contribute to mm-hmm. swipe culture, hookup culture. This comes from, or the dating apocalypse, the term, comes from this Vanity Fair article that was published last September, and it was this whole massive thing talking. It was just like, oh, the world of dating is so rough and so sad, and people just can't find true love out there, and it's all about hookups, and it reduces love to this game, blah, 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 which I am a woman in a very happy relationship and happened for 3 years, so I'm coming from a different place than most people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you're looking, true love seems like it is hard to find,
in
number
general.
One. So, like, if you're not finding that on Tinder, like, don't blame the fact that Tinder exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you'd either, like, at least you're fucking people. You know what I mean? Like,
at least you're getting your rocks off.
Yeah. And I wonder, again, coming from a bitch in a relationship for 3 years, very happy. Like, I feel like romantic love is overvalued because I feel like there are other forms of love that can be just as fulfilling.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, I don't think everybody is going to find that one person who they want to be with mm-hmm. forever mm-hmm. or who they think they want to be with forever because, like, marriages end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, that's supposed to be like, oh, that's the happily ever after, is you get together with somebody. But I think you can live a happily fulfilled life, fucking people,
yeah.
having close correspondence with friends and family, and
yeah.
you don't need, I don't know, there are other ways to be happy. Like, I think, like, just because you're not in a relationship doesn't mean that your life can't mm-hmm. be fulfilling. Not saying that, like, you're, like, bad for being single and wanting to be with somebody, but, like,
there's just other things
yeah.
to deal with. I feel like the ideal of wanting to be in a relationship is like a thing now. or wanting to be in a relationship headed towards marriage is like a thing now, because I guess generations prior didn't, I guess things were more rigid, and we as millennials or whatever have more leeway in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, we're putting our careers first and stuff like that, putting our education first, and people are like kind of going back to that nostalgic, you find that one person and you settle down and you have kids and you live out your life together or whatever. But like, that nostalgic ideal wasn't really working out that good anyway, because half of our parents are fucking divorced in the first place.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it is a fucked up, lonely ass hard world, and I see why people would want romantic love, but I think people are just harking on that ideal a little too hard.
Yeah, and I think people are also expecting,
like, too much. They want the idea of love, but yeah, I don't think
it might not. I don't know if it exists. It doesn't. It's not going to happen for everybody. It's just
exactly
not.
And it's definitely not going to happen all at once. Like, not every 24-year-old is going to be in a fucking fulfilling relationship like me and Akeem for the past 7 years. Like,
say that.
Y'all can't do it. Yeah. So get another degree.
Y'all too,
bitch.
Basic. No. But yeah, like, because it makes some people so sad.
Yeah, like, it does. Yeah. It really brings people down.
Yeah, and if it's worth, like, if you think you want to find that person, mm-hmm. like, or, like, also that, you can't put that pressure on one person to be your everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's, like, that person is going to let you down.
They will fail.
Because nobody can provide all, like, there can't be everything you need them to be.
Yeah, exactly.
But, if, like, it's, partnership is nice. You can find companionship. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like it's like product, like, demanding product. It's like you have to create a need in order to sell something.
Mm-hmm.
Or identify a need, but I think it can be enhanced. Like, mm-hmm. what is it? Like, gingivitis. Sorry, it's, you know, this is a conspiracy.
I suffer from gingivitis. You know, that's why I floss every night.
You know, fuck it. It was going to be, I was about to go all conspiracy theory.
You're about to say that gingivitis doesn't exist.
Nah, it was
I've heard that
else.
Before.
It was something else.
I've heard that you don't really need to floss, but, like,
I think
it works for me.
It's like, you don't need mouthwash.
Yeah, you don't need mouthwash.
Your teeth.
I don't use it.
Yeah, you don't need mouthwash. Anyway.
Talking about.
So Hinge, this dating app, decided to, as of October 11th, they made the switch to being a more of a relationship app.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, they're charging $7 a month. If you had been a user of Hinge previously, you get 3 free months.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's going to be expensive to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this thing called Hinge Labs, where they asked members, like, hey, what could make things a little better? So they're providing, like, more in-depth, more in-depth profiles.
More in-depth duties.
More in-depth profiles. And then you can also figure out, like, sometimes if people are on Hinge who you know through somebody, like, mm-hmm. you can kind of look through there, which seemed creepy to me, but it's like, okay, you know, someone in your circles isn't, that's not too weird. And I think that's dope. I'm down with that. Like, I'm down for apps that help people find relationships. Oh, and the one thing I was saying was that we're at an unprecedented time in, like, mating, aka, like, dating and romantic trends. It's where, yeah. like, the internet is corresponding for the first time with people's, or dating apps and, like, relationships are, like, a huge thing that has never existed before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just allowing for, like, these weird kinds of correspondences and
connections that
and
have never existed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I have two friends who met online. They didn't know they didn't know they were at the same college. They met online somehow. And it's like, you can totally find authentic relationships.
Yeah.
Via, like, other forms. And yeah. That's legit. You know,
yeah.
Because sometimes you look around and you're like, it's scary, it's rough out here. And I totally get that. I'm not a bitch, guys. I'm not a fucking bitch.
That totally makes sense. But I think it's rough to go into something with the idea, like, I want a relationship, because mm-hmm. then you might try to force a relationship that's not really there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I also had a thought about how people often say, like, dating nowadays is this, pretty much like what that article was, mm-hmm. and how dating nowadays is just situationships or whatever. Maybe that's because people want love, sex, and companionship, but don't want to, like, only do that with one person.
Yeah.
Maybe the world is a lot more polyamorous than we think.
Perhaps.
Maybe you guys should accept the way you feel instead of, like, fucking cheating on partners and not owning mm-hmm. up to it, and
a lot of people, whatever. I think you don't identify as polyamorous, but you're living the fucking poly life.
If you have a side chick or a side nigga, like, what the fuck else are you doing? Like, you're not a bad person at
not
heart.
Not at all.
You just
have to
want some other things. You might be a bad person.
You could
but
be.
Like, I don't think that's why.
You're not related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Hinge, would I say check it out? No, because I'm sure it's like another bitch-ass white boy app.
Yeah.
But I'd have to.
Yeah.
I think it says a lot about how what is it, like, the app dating culture is just evolving. It's fun. It's mm-hmm. kind of fun to watch a whole new, the terrain and the landscape, the frontier, the dating frontier evolve.
It's fun, but it's also, we're literally seeing how fucking capitalist America capitalizes on every fucking thing. Mm-hmm.
The most severe damage from Hurricane Matthew has occurred in the Caribbean, particularly on the island nation of Haiti, which is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Authorities there say they believe the storm caused hundreds of deaths and has displaced thousands more.
Traffickers are likely to prey on Haitian kids post-Hurricane Matthew. I guess that was like 2 weeks ago, maybe, Hurricane Matthew?
Feels like it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Hit a couple of places, but it seemed to have hit Haiti the hardest. At least 1,000 people were killed, destroyed up to 90% of some areas in South Haiti.
Wow.
And things like that lead to families getting separated and shit. So it's an estimate that up to 2,000 children have been separated from their parents or evacuated to orphanages. Half of the schools in a couple of places in Haiti, half of the 131 schools have been damaged, so they're, like, closed for now.
Oh,
so that's,
no.
like, a place in the day where kids can't go. So, yeah, oftentimes in general in, like, I hate to say underdeveloped countries, but, like, poorer countries, families will send, like, struggling families who are struggling economically will send their children off to other families to go work and stuff like that to make money for the family. Mm-hmm. So when natural disasters happen, traffickers come in and play off of that, and they'll say, yeah, we can help your family out right now, and they take the kids, and they'll either, like, sell the kids into work or sell the kids or take the kids to orphanages. And then when you're at an orphanage, when people adopt you, you make money. So either way, they're, like, making money off of the kids. So it is likely that, unfortunately, this will happen in Haiti this time around. This also happened post-earthquake in 2010. And then I think there was an earthquake last year in Nepal, and this happened. So, I guess Save the Children did, like, this article on Huffington Post about it or whatever. I don't know if I trust Save the Children yet, though, but, yeah, it's fucked up. Haiti keeps getting shitted on, so.
Yeah.
At, some point, I'm going to arrange a list, because there's, like, people who I know and trust who have been, like, posting about, specific, like, domestic, like, in Haiti organizations that you can donate to make sure, like, your money and stuff
actually goes somewhere
to the people.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I'm going to put that in the description for this episode. Haiti's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a term for the assholes that take advantage. It's disaster capitalists. That's what it's called. It's when people come roll in during disasters and make money off of.
People are the absolute worst.
Yeah. And I hear people all the time saying, like, oh, Haiti, what poor luck. And it's really not poor luck.
No,
and I
feel it's not
like
at all.
This is where you understand, like, history and colonialism.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this country so, like, why is the infrastructure so poor that it seems like all, like, every few years or so, a major disaster just mm-hmm. completely, like, eviscerates parts of, mm-hmm. of this country. And it's like, well, like, some places are poor because they've been ravaged by colonial nations.
Yeah.
And that kind of, that never... It's hard to recover from that when people are too busy being like, oh, black people just need to fucking stand up on their own feet and we shouldn't be helping others like that.
Haiti gets the biggest shout out of all time, and this is why I love Haiti and Haitian people. It was the first fucking free black nation in the entire goddamn, well, in the slave world, I guess, or whatever. And honestly, it was the only one. They were the only nation that ever fucking rebelled and fought back and took over their land or whatever. So you always have to be in debt to Haiti, but...
Yeah.
They never got reparations back from France after that occurred, which is like, okay, so we have no playing field or whatever. We just have our resources, which has already been depleted by French colonizers. But then also they were forced to pay fucking France for the war in the first place.
So fucking dumb. And France got all the fucking Facebook filters.
Exactly. And Haiti got people had to fucking protest for a fucking Facebook filter. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But in regards to, like, natural disasters and why it hits Haiti so much, like... what they would do there is, like, deforest the country and use the wood to, like, burn fuel and stuff like that. That's why there's, like, no trees in Haiti. Like, if you go over on a plane and you look at the DR and you look at Haiti, the DR is lush as fuck and Haiti's, like, brown as fuck because there's no trees.
Wow.
There's no, like, foliage or whatever. And that's why when the earthquake happened, there was nothing to, like, shield the people from like avalanches of dirt and shit like that, and that's why so many people fucking died. And I'm sure that's why the flooding and the hurricane also killed a lot of people too, because there's nothing there. So
yeah, the natural defenses of the land just have been taken fucking, away.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, looking forward to that list of places where I can send some of my very few dollars.
Yeah,
because it's so hard. It's like, how do you fight? It's like a historic like you fuck somebody over once, but it's like it lasts.
You keep fucking them over
continuously,
honestly.
And it's by not like, I feel like France has to be like, you know, we did colonize this place, you know, should be the place that's helping them out of all the of all the countries.
Exactly.
And if you're like, if you were, I don't know, if you're in some sort of official, you're like, you know what, were there any colonial places that we colonized that are now not doing well?
Mm-hmm.
We should help them the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of help, that's another thought I had about, like, in regards to orphanages or whatever, like, the fact that people will take kids who don't actually even belong in orphanages and put them in orphanages to benefit. Makes me feel very iffy about people who their form of activism is going to a country and adopting one single child instead of, like, putting some sort of aid into the reason why that child doesn't have a parent, mm-hmm. which is probably because, like, the parent was either too poor to take care of the child or died because of economic circumstances where they couldn't take care of themselves. So I don't like adoption activists.
It always feels strange to me.
Feels like, here's my ethnic baby for show. Like, when we were in Ghana and people, like, were holding the fucking black baby but didn't like any of the black people who were on the trip or any of the older black children who would ask for money because they were poor or didn't want to fucking go in the mall because they were, like, scared of being robbed by black Ghanaian people, but you sure held that black baby and you fucking all made it your goddamn profile picture.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when you see, if you see that black baby on the street later, you're going to run away. You're not going to be like, oh, you're not invested in that person's
future.
Exactly.
Not even invested in black babies in the country where you fucking came from.
Yeah. If you guys want to hear this Ghana story, I feel like you guys might like this Ghana story.
Yeah.
Because there's so much venom in my heart.
And the fact that it's still there.
It's still here.
Like 3 years ago. Bride smashes husband over the head with champagne bottle after seeing his big old dick on the night of their honeymoon. B. Scott is always on the headlines.
Wait, what?
I don't know how to pronounce this man's name. Nombo Madyibi, a 32-year-old amateur footballer. But if you're amateur, you're not getting paid for it. It's like, what is his real profession? Who knows? Yeah. And his unnamed wife, I think they are South African, got married, have never had sex before. They met in a church. Everything was, like, very Puritan, it seems. They went on their honeymoon, I think, which is also in South Africa. And they're getting all freaky, honeymoon. She's enjoying foreplay, and at some point he whips out his quote-unquote big old dick. And he says, quote-unquote, but all hell broke loose the moment I took off my underwear.
Oh, God.
According to him, she reacted in horror, bit his ear, and squeezed his private part, which is like, if something is threatening me, like a big old dick, I'm gonna, like, move back from it. I'm not gonna, like,
hit it
in the person who is attached to it. And then he says, before I knew it, she knocked me over with a bottle of wine before attempting to suffocate me with a red and white teddy bear I bought her as a gift.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, how large can this man's penis really
that
be?
That it was offensive.
To incite such horror, where she's like, it must die. His penis can't live. He screamed so loud after being hit that he woke up the guest. According to him, he says he thinks that she's just mad that he couldn't afford a cheaper honeymoon. That he could only afford a cheaper honeymoon because she actually wanted a honeymoon in Zanzibar. So apparently Zanzibar is lit enough that you hit your husband over the head with a champagne bottle and blame it on his big dick. But according to her, she says he has a big he has a big penis like a cucumber and hairy and scary like a bush. And she says that she only slapped him on the cheek.
Sure.
But this article, there's an image of him with gauze all over his eye.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if he faked that or... I don't know. This is a very odd story.
I'm mad at that woman. I'm pissed
no,
off
No, if she did this, and she is fucked up.
I'm very pissed this is if why that's the case.
I don't believe that is... There's something else deeper going on here. Yeah. I don't think it was because of his dick, but if it was because of his
that's
dick...
That's hilarious.
This is why I advocate for porn. or having sex before marriage. Yeah. Like, you can't be that caught off guard.
You're just like,
what does she think a normal dick would look like?
She's just like, I can't handle this. I can't deal with this it's for the rest much. Of my life.
It depends on what kind of cucumber, but honestly.
It doesn't even sound that big.
It's not, yeah. Any type of cucumber, like the biggest cucumbers I've grown in my backyard, I could still take, you know?
I
could still
ride that. I can take any cucumber.
And I've seen some big old cucumbers. We use steroids.
That term again.
But apparently they both agreed to work it out in marriage counseling. I don't know how the fuck you work that out.
Yeah, we'll see what goes. Yeah, right?
Dick therapy.
Just put the dick on a table. Right, let's think about this for a little bit, guys.
Associate this with positive memories.
Sunflowers.
Touch it. Just touch it. It's not a cucumber.
Therapist is jerking him off. Comes an orgy.
Delta Airlines almost let a passenger die because they couldn't believe a black woman was a doctor. So maybe this happened a week ago. 25-year-old black woman by the name of Tamika Cross, who is an OBGYN, was on a Delta flight out of Michigan. So while she's on the flight, a male passenger becomes unresponsive and his wife calls for help. So Dr. Cross went into like full superwoman mode, got up, rushed over. An attendant like turns to her and says it was just a night terror, he's okay. So she's chilling out or whatever, but she was already on it. So then a flight attendant calls the like overhead system again for help, asking for a physician. So Dr. Cross raised her hand because she's a fucking physician. And the attendant looks at her and responds, "Oh no, sweetie, put your hand down. We are looking for actual physicians or nurses or some type of medical personnel. We don't have time to talk to you."
Wow.
It's like the actual, it's like, I'm a fake doctor. I want to be a doctor for Halloween. Like, what did you?
It's like
what
a gynecologist I made out think? With.
He wasn't
a real gynecologist.
That's when you're on like the Halloween play, and they're like, "No, no, we need real doctors." Now this woman is just a bigot.
That's what I would have assaulted
so,
her.
So Dr. Cross was.
I'm just so mad.
Dr. Cross was like obviously offended or whatever, but she's like, "All right, bitch, you don't want my help." So they call the overhead. Sorry, the first time I think they were just walking through the aisles. Now they actually call the overhead and say for a physician to press like the little flight attendant button or whatever. So Dr. Cross, being the fucking physician that she is, presses the button. She's just trying to do what she's asked to do. And the attendant responds. She actually stared at her as she pressed the button, and the attendant is like, "Oh wow, you're an actual physician?" Dr. Cross says yes, and then the attendant says, "Let me see your credentials. What type of doctor are you? Where do you work? Why were you in Detroit?" This man is dying over there.
Why were you in Detroit?
Something terrible is happening.
There's no doctors in Detroit.
Exactly. It's like, first of all, why would she lie about being a doctor so many times? To get a rise out of everybody for the comedic purposes?
Fooled them all.
Like, what the fuck? And then, yeah, it just reminds me of, like, the trope in media where it's, like, something happens. Like, if someone just falls on the floor and a white guy immediately rushes over and he's like, "Don't worry, everybody, I'm a doctor." And Everyone immediately believes him. And this woman is getting asked 20 fucking questions when there's a man dying two rows above her.
Someone needs help and you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Exactly.
You don't understand life.
You're literally not a doctor.
You're ill-equipped for every situation you'll ever be in.
So Tamika just responded to her question. She's like, "I'm an OBGYN. I work in Houston. In Detroit for a wedding, but believe it or not, they do have doctors in Detroit." It's like, what did you think was going on in Detroit, bitch? Like, there has to be at least one hospital. So then she says, "Now excuse me, I can help the man in need." So at the same moment, some old ass white nigga arrives. Right, exactly.
Where has he been?
He's obviously slow on his reflexes. He's about to retire soon. He's not a very good doctor. He's not getting up on it. So he like goes to the attendant or whatever, and then she turns to Dr. Cross and she's like, "Thanks for your help, but he can help us and he has his credentials." And then Tamika said, "Mind you, he hasn't shown anything to her, just showed up and fit the description of a doctor," which is like blatantly fucked up and just sad and frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
So then 10 minutes later, the attendant comes back and starts asking her questions about the patient, and they start talking about blood pressure and stuff like that. And obviously Tamika Cross was like upset, but was like, "Well, this man needs my help, and you know, the greater good is..."
I'm confused. So this white man,
I don't know what the fuck he was doing up there, but that day they even had more questions.
So that guy wasn't able to do
this. This guy was probably an ear doctor, goddammit. He probably didn't know what the fuck he was doing at all. Okay. He might have been a vet. He might have been a doctor of, like, literature.
I have my PhD in metaphysics. Exactly. I can figure this
out. Who knows what that guy was doing over there?
Which would explain why he didn't rush over to help. He's just like, you know, I'm probably not the most qualified.
Maybe he was doing it for the shits and gigs. Like, well, let me see if they believe I'm a doctor.
This is my chance.
Exactly. But yeah, it's just all fucked up. So I'm just going to read this last paragraph that Tamika actually said. She said, she came to me and apologized several times, offering me sky miles. Mm. I kindly refused. This is going higher than her. I don't want sky miles in exchange for blatant discrimination. Whether this was race, age, gender discrimination, it's not right. She will not get away with this, and I will still get my sky miles.
Yeah, and I hope that bitch gets her fucking fired. Sky miles.
Yeah.
Hope she's never allowed on a plane ever again.
Yeah, she should definitely lose her job. And then this inspired this whole hashtag on Twitter called What a Doctor Looks Like, and it was like a whole bunch of black women who are physicians being like, yeah, you can be doctors too, nigga.
Love that.
Yeah, to me, it seems like it was like the perfect intersectional combination between race, gender, and age. Because it's like, white people are doctors, men are doctors, Older guys are doctors. So we have like this 25-year-old black woman who is completely qualified but is getting like skirted over, and it's like, one, it reminds me of Teacher Bay and that people keep coming for young black professional women who are just doing what they need to do, looking what they look like.
Yeah.
And people being like, wait, you're not supposed to look like this. Has to be an older white person in this role. And then also, like, people talk about the fact that minorities aren't contributing members of the workforce and young people aren't contributing members of the workforce.
Word.
This is someone literally doing that, looking the way they look, because this is my age, gender, and race, and then you don't even believe that they're actually fucking contributing to the society that you want them to contribute to.
And it's really, you're in the person who's being racist and discriminating is actually hurting society with these fucking beliefs.
Exactly.
Because somebody is literally
dying
in desperate, like, you're just like, you know, my racism is gonna stop this. Like, yeah. My racism, if that man had died or whatever, and like suffered some sort of like long-term injury, like, I feel like that attendant should be sued.
Manslaughter or something like that.
Yeah, because you can't,
like,
just,
why wouldn't you even let her go over there? It has to be like some deeply ingrained racism. Like, she wasn't just gonna go over there and kill that man.
No.
If anything, like, maybe she was like, I don't know, like an LPN or something like that, like not a nurse or something. She wasn't like, what was she gonna do, check his vitals? Like, even if she wasn't like a full physician, she wasn't gonna hurt him.
She's more equipped than you.
Exactly.
Way
exactly.
more equipped than you.
I don't even, what does she mean by actual physician? Yeah.
So shout out to Dr. Cross.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dr. Cross for, in the face of discrimination, still trying to do your goddamn job.
Yeah. I hope she gets her sky miles.
Yeah, me too. I hope she can fly free for the rest of her life.
All black women doctors should get sky miles as a result of this happening.
That's how reparations should work.
Exactly.
Although it is.
Let's go to places. Yeah. Let's see things. Yeah, that's
so,
it.
Yeah. So that's it for Fuck That.
Now on to Fuck It. This week, in our third installment of October, Ho-October.
Hokeover.
No. It'll never have a name.
October.
October. Yeah. October. In this installment of October. Did you realize that there were five Mondays?
In October?
This October?
I had no idea.
We need two more episodes now.
We can do it.
Yeah, but I thought we were only doing four, you know? Otherwise, I wouldn't have suggested this idea.
Is it too many? We can break with that. We
the
can
last
like,
one
it.
Is Halloween.
Oh,
so
I
it
see.
Has to be something crazy. I think the last one is also our fucking anniversary.
Oh, so it has to be amazing.
Why would God do this? On this episode, we're talking about horror movies, and that's why it's called American Horror Story. Well, we can just shoot the shit about horror movies a little bit. What are some of your faves?
It Follows. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. It was just fun. It was a good movie. Oh my gosh, The Babadook.
Mm-hmm. I've actually still never seen that.
The Babadook. Dook.
Thank you.
Dook.
That's the movie.
That's the sound it makes. And it's just like this, you get a children's book, it just shows up at your fucking house. Mm-hmm. From then on, you're haunted by the Babadook, and it, like, takes over.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's, but
that's why I don't read.
Yeah, because you could get haunted.
Yeah.
I love, like, creepy, childy,
You like children-y horror.
Yeah, but then I also like very sexual stuff, so okay. I'm trying to just figure out these parts.
Do you find that happens in children-y horror?
No,
yeah. I don't think it does. I think my fave is paranormal horror, like demonic possessions and shit like that.
Chairs swiveling.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, damn, this could really happen. This could fucking really happen, you know? The gory shit doesn't bother me. Killers don't bother me. Oof. But I don't know, something about a demon. I'm like, damn, I'm gonna get possessed right now. And also, there was a squirrel living in my home that would only that would only like do and make noise at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is the fucking witching hour. Is if you've ever watched The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and yeah, so that shit freaks me out. So yeah, I think my like the first horror movie that ever really scared me was The Poltergeist, and that's why I call it my fave. Lucas.
Dark Water is fun.
Bye.
That's, like, by a guy who directed the original Ring.
Okay.
Shit, we're getting deep.
I don't know how loud
Lucas likes Asian horror.
It's not even that I like Asian horror. It's just I took, like, Korean film class, and I was like, ooh, horror movies. I'm going to do this for my final.
I see.
And I just ended up watching a bunch of, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's talk about your body when you watch an horror movie. Yeah. Let's start off there. So I always heard this myth where it's like, I don't know if it's a myth or not, but I couldn't actually get someone to fully say it. But basically, I think I learned about this in my horror movie class, where like the synapses of where your brain is firing off, mm-hmm. like the trail leading to fear is very similar to the trail leading to when you're turned on. Like, it's almost the exact same path until you're scared or your dick's hard, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah, fear and arousal are like cousins or something like that. You say, sorry.
Hmm? You say pear the same way you say fear.
Fair?
Yeah.
Fear?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Fair and loathing.
Yeah.
It's just nice.
Thank
it's
you.
Refreshing.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's why, I don't know. People always, like, psychoanalyze horror movies, and it's in a very Freudian way, so I don't know if it's, like, real psychology or not, but people say, like, people like horror movies because it turns them on and stuff like that, and that's why all of these, like, sexual undertones are within certain types of horror movies. So, according to this article on Bustle, when we're scared, our brains pump out the feel-good chemical dopamine, the same chemical we release when we're infatuated with someone. And basically, like, this whole article was, like, if you want to, like, juice up your sex life, you should watch some horror movies with your partner and that'll, like, get things going.
That's
is
fun.
That the case?
I feel like there's, like, the trope, that thing where, like, you take a girl to a horror film so that she's scared and she'll
and then
grab
you
onto
you.
But that's not very consensual.
You're right.
But, like, that has
nothing
to do
with... I mean, she
could
do the reverse and feel up on you,
yeah.
In which case it's still not consensual. But if you feel up on each other, then it's real love and you should get married right there.
Exactly. Right in the theater.
When I watch horror movies, I tend to laugh at them, though. Because a lot of horror movies are, like, campy and stuff like that, and that's the reason why I enjoy them.
And that's fun.
And then it's just me and whoever I'm with, like, haha, you see that nigga over there, you about
he
to dead. Die. Yeah, exactly. So we bond in that way, but not in, like, ooh, hot and heavy way. I guess it has to be a really scary movie.
I
have a question
stop.
For you.
Oh, okay.
What's the scariest horror movie that you've ever seen?
Ooh, okay. Give me 2 seconds. I can think of the most recent thing I saw that was fucking terrifying mm-hmm. to me was that one with the elderly people and the sundowning.
Oh, what the fuck was that called?
Yeah, the visit.
I was about to say
and
the
it's
village.
About these two people who go to visit their grandparents.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's not their grandparents.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
And it's I said spoiler alert before I can just say everything.
You can say
but
anything.
It's fucking horrifying.
Yeah. That gets weird too. That's one of the movies where, like, it is an odd instance of childhood horror. Well, the kids weren't the scary part, but there were children in it, and that grandma was getting real sexual. She was just very naked, and she was like flirting with that little boy.
She was,
and that's horrific. If you think it's your grandma, it's like playing on that.
Well,
you know,
even if it wasn't,
you're right. You're right about that. That's still pedophilia. I was trying not to be ageist.
We did see
and I failed
ass
along
cheek.
That way.
You saw her
We saw
ass
her
cheek.
Butt.
And it was just so funny because it was also like things that are super creepy. Oh, I saw one really gory film.
M. Night Shyamalan redeemed himself with that film.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best, but I liked it.
It wasn't The Happening.
It wasn't The Happening.
It's like one of those things where you see someone doing something creepy from a distance.
Yeah.
You catch them. yeah. they just walk away. And yeah, it's just like, oh, that's, why did that?
That was kind of the whole nature of the film. Yeah. You're right. That's what made it scary.
That was something.
The kids were very dumb, though.
They were.
They should have been hip to the game a long time ago.
Totally.
The scariest film that I've ever seen was, have you ever seen a Serbian film?
Oh, you told me about it.
I know about it.
Only because
it is one of the worst things that you could ever fucking watch. And it totally plays on sex. Basically, the whole premise is this guy is an aging porn star, and he, like, Cam Soda calls him up or whatever and offers him $100,000 deal. No, he, like, offers him a deal for, like, this new cutting-edge porn or whatever that's gonna, like, revolutionize porn. And he just gets this guy into some fucked up shit, like dick cutting and, like, whoa, necrophilia and, like, there's, like, babies involved. Like, I watched that in my horror movie studies class or whatever.
Wow.
And I think it was, like, one of the last days of school or something like that. And I had to, like, walk to my mom's apartment after school. And that was the saddest walk of my life. I felt depleted as a human. I felt drained. I felt like there was no reason to live. It was just dreadful. Like, I feel like that's what a scary horror movie should really do to you, like induce absolute dread and disgust with like the human condition or whatever.
Oh, no.
And it was scary. Second scariest movie I've ever seen was a film called Martyrs. Also watched that in that class. It seems like it's like a torture porn in the beginning, and then it's like, oh, there's no meaning of life towards the end. And all in all, you just also feel like, wow, there's no reason to live. Very horrifying films. Oh, like, man. Psychologically horrifying,
yeah,
films. And those do not make me want to fuck somebody, was my main point. Especially a Serbian film.
Yeah, you
like, I felt disgusted having sex after that,
wow,
honestly.
Wow, well, if there was a baby involved.
He fucked the baby!
Whoa.
And they called it newborn porn.
Like, how do you, like, fuck the, like, a
woman? Oh, it was definitely a doll. It was definitely a doll. They wouldn't actually do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, this film took a...
No, it wasn't like a snuff film, which is interesting. The like, fact his that those exist and
adult
stuff.
Dick was in a baby vagina.
Yeah. Or, oh. But I don't know what kind of baby gosh. It was. Speaking of snuff films, though, another very scary film, Cannibal Holocaust. You wouldn't think it's scary by the title, but what can I say? It's like this, that's kind of like an expedition-y horror, like The Descent, where people like go out into the woods and then fucked up shit just starts happening or whatever.
Never go to the
but
woods.
It's like also racist because it's like foreign woods, like an ethnic woods, where the back hillbilly blah 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 people fuck you up. So they're like in a place and there's like a whole bunch of defiling of animals for like ritualistic purposes going on and stuff like that, but like they actually killed the animals in that film. Like there's like a scene where they're like killing a turtle and then like they just like show the detail of how the turtle is dying, but the actual people killed an actual turtle in that film.
Oh no.
One, and then two, I'm like forgetting the premise of the film, but like they're documentarians and they're going in the woods and they stumble upon like footage of, they think it's fake footage of like really gruesome things, like really gruesome snuff films, but they think it's fake, but what they showed in the film is actually real, like, faces of death type footage.
Oh, gosh.
Like, that they found on the internet and stuff like that. That
Akeem was also used to love those, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Akeem did used to go on Faces of Death.
I can't forget that.
Somebody
about
else
him.
Told me that they used to go on Faces of Death, too. I forgot who that was.
I can't forget that.
The fuck is up with that?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like, we're in this film, it's already a fucked up film, we're in a fucked up place, and then we're watching actual people die. Did not turn me on as a person.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's.
Three serious movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'll never see those.
Don't.
I can't.
I mean, to watch with other people, a Serbian film is kind of like an experience. Like one of those really weird movies that people watch together. But the other two, like Martyrs, I wouldn't watch that with somebody else. It's just too dark.
Okay.
Cannibal Holocaust, you could watch with somebody
I'll
else.
Just enjoy the Cannibal Holocaust.
That was the lightest of all of them, I'll say that. But back to what your body does when you're watching these fucked up things. Yeah, so then this Bustle article talks about this concept called the misattribution of arousal, in which people mistake fear and anxiety for attraction. So, like, one of the studies done to prove that this is true or whatever, it was, like, a whole bunch of men, so male-centric, and they're crossing, there's some men who are crossing a bridge that you would deem safe, and some men crossing a bridge that you would deem unsturdy and stuff like that, like my Millie Rock. Mm-hmm. And there's a woman at the end of the bridge, and the men go to the end of the bridge, and either way, the woman asks to, like, give the man her number or whatever, and the guys who were on the unsafe bridge tended to call the woman more than the guys on the safe bridge. So maybe while they were, like, anxious and stuff, they mistook it for, wow, my loins are really going, this woman's hot.
I must like this woman.
So, yeah, but I don't know if that's the case.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the people that are, like, really, like, trying to go into, like, really dangerous bridges also like to call women.
Yeah, but I don't know if they selected the bridges, you know? Like, I don't know if the guy was like, I want to go on this scary bridge. But that makes sense, though, because someone who is more likely to go on a scary bridge is more likely to do a scary thing.
Yeah.
Like, call a girl.
Call a random girl who could be a murderer.
Yeah. Just a couple of physiological things that do happen to your body when you're scared. Heart rate and breathing increase. Your muscles tense. Cortisol levels increase, meaning you feel more stressful. Your eyes move more. Your adrenaline levels rise. What's your particular brain genetics react?
That's I don't know what that means.
What the fuck?
It's really funny.
What are they reacting to?
Then what are your brain genetics?
I think I copied and pasted that, but it's like, what did they mean?
Oh no, that's okay. Like fucks up the entire article. The credibility is ruined.
Let me just. It's like a random word generator.
That's why I write all my articles.
Hit and miss, what can I say? And they offered a hypothesis as to why this all feels good. Like watching horror movies, it might make us feel powerful to survive something so threatening. It also might be an outlet for aggression aggression in a basically peaceful society. Or we may just like being scared in a safe place that we'll know we'll get out of. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Something.
I do feel hella stressed.
When you're watching a horror
movie? Yeah. I feel like stop things. Like, I pause the visit. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and then I ain't playing yet.
That's cool.
I get so scared. Like,
that's your coping mechanism.
Yeah.
I think my coping mechanism is to laugh.
I just stop and scream.
Do you do it before, like, the jump?
Yeah, it's because I know something's about to happen. Yeah. The suspense. I'm just like... Yeah. What was I watching? The Hunger Games was also pretty scary and suspenseful. But I couldn't pause that.
I sound like a 5-year-old.
Yeah. I get very scared.
That's funny.
I get very, very scared.
That is funny. All right, so let's talk about some horror movie tropes now.
Yeah.
As they pertain to sex. So the first trope that we all know and love, the couple having sex usually gets killed first.
Yeah, don't fuck.
Yeah.
Get
well,
married.
It sort of seems to happen in slasher films the most, honestly. Like Friday the 13th and Halloween are pretty much based in that concept. I think the first person to get killed in Halloween was a girl who was having sex or something like that. Uh-huh. Maybe I'm thinking of Friday the 13th. But,
why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is? Some people say it's like a commentary on sex in society, or the villain having like puritanical beliefs and shit like that.
Oh, okay.
And wanting, I guess, I don't know.
It's okay for...
To punish people for...
For being,
yeah.
Indulging in that. So it's okay for him to cut you to death or stab you to death.
Well, in Friday the 13th, I think the main premise was that the, whatchamacallit, the whole camp staff was not protecting the boy, Jason, and they were, like, all frolicking and having a young, lusty fun and shit like that, and that's why he, like, drowned in the lake and shit like that.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
I mean, poor boy.
Went on to kill everybody. That's a good, fun, scary film to watch.
Okay.
That's, like, your whole teen debauchery thing that you enjoy and
love
stuff
it.
Like that. And, like, the kills aren't super gory. Like, you'll see blood and stuff, but it's, like, 1980s blood and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not seeing somebody's skin being
It's not
played.
Saw by any means. So, in tune with that, like, sexual thing, like, the people who have sex tend to die the first. The person who's virginal tends to die last in slasher films or whatever.
Mm.
And that's the trope of the quote-unquote final girl. And she's, so, like, in slasher films, it's usually, like, the female heroine versus the sadistic male villain or whatever. And she tends to be asexual. Like, she'll have a friend who's like a hoe, basically. The friend who's the hoe is the helpless hoe, and that's usually the person who dies first after having sex with their partner or whatever, and they just get into the situation where it's like, oh, and they fall and they fucking have this long, dragged out death or whatever.
They go down to get some milk from the fridge. There's a murderer in the milk carton.
He just busts out and stabs her.
He dies.
Yeah. So the final girl will be, like, very asexual compared to her friends or whatever, and won't date people or whatever. She'll also, like the helpless hoe, which is a term I coined. I think they call it the damsel in distress or something like that. But I made it the helpless hoe. Like, she'll be all, like, glammed up or whatever and obviously feminine. But, like, for example, in Halloween, the, Jamie Lee Curtis's character is just like very plain and stuff like that. Her hair is mad plain, she dresses mad plain or whatever. And she'll just fucking persist until the goddamn end. And the whole thing is like a cat and mouse game throughout the whole movie. But in the end, she usually takes like the killer's weapon and turns it around on him. So it's like, they say, this is another trope, the killer's weapon is usually, like, phallic in nature, like a gun or a knife or a sword or something like that. So he has, like, this phallic weaponry the whole time. Like, he's chasing people with his fucking dick the entire movie. Yeah. And the final girl takes the dick and kills him with the dick.
I love that.
Yeah.
You go, final girl.
And then there's, like, theories about it and stuff where it's, like, most things in general are made for and by the male gaze. So in horror movies, particularly slasher movies, we're watching through the male gaze, but I guess most people are identifying with the final girl, unless you're really, really sick and sadistic and you want, like, Freddy and Jason and all these people to actually kill these people or whatever. So it's said that movie makers are forcing, like, little shit 14-year-old boys to identify with a woman.
Oh, that's... Yeah, because you want them to survive and you're rooting for that person.
I don't know how many people actually do that. I do that, but maybe there are sick little shits who are like, yeah, I want these bitches to die.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, I'm not a misogynist, so it's a little hard for me to see.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, no, because usually, I usually take the point of view of the filmmaker, unless the filmmaker has done something that to piss me off with either plot or characters. I'm like, you're an asshole. I don't care about your characters.
I mean,
usually
the filmmakers are kind of shit, though, because they do make the sexual people die first. They make the black people die first. It's interesting that they subvert it with the final girl, but the final girl is mad.
She's
either asexual, she's a respectable one, and she's like agendered to kind of masculine in the first place. So I don't really know why they make it a girl, but
yeah,
it's still kind of a piece of shit, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, this is true. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Add like a flashback to Night of the Living Dead.
The very first one?
Yeah.
Like the old one? Don't remember anything about that, but okay.
Well, I mean, just kind of didn't...
Oops.
Not
fit well. Into that. Yeah, I think that a lot of these fit into the slasher trope.
Yeah.
I don't know, I haven't watched that many zombie movies, but I don't know how zombie movies kind of play out in regards to, like, sex and stuff like that. Like, when I was, like, researching stuff for this, a lot of the innuendos of sex and mentions of sex pertain to...
Slashers.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was going to do it, I was going to, like, do a sex reading of, like, gory horror movies, zombie horror movies, paranormal horror movies, and slasher, but I just, like, just narrowed it down to slasher.
It's a
lot.
Can't
really find it in anything else.
There's so many.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, all these, it's just, like, people have written books. So many books on these.
Totes. Another trope that's kind of, like, sexual in nature is, like, the mystical pregnancy, where the, whatever character will be, like, fucked by the devil, or fucking, like, an alien when the alien basically fucked this guy's face in the first Alien, and, like, the alien baby was in him the whole time, and I think he was, like, having breathing problems or some shit like that, and the end of the movie just, like, busted out of him and stuff. Just, like, whatever malevolent force inserting itself into a human vessel unknowingly or with, like, not all of its intentions fully revealed, and then popping out.
Oh, wow.
Some evil ass shit.
Seems like violence is, it seems like a super, like, masculine thing.
It does, exactly. Like, you're literally fucking these people into having your offspring.
Which then...
You're raping them into having your offspring.
Yeah, you're raping people. Yeah. Are there any films that are not the opposite of that? Like,
What?
Like, not a masculine form of violence?
Well, there's vagina dentata, teeth.
Teeth.
Where she's, buying dicks off.
Vagina teeth.
With her vagina.
Teeth.
I'm assuming they bleed to death.
It's like that, this thing, this anti-rape thing that people can wear that's just like...
Oh, the condom with teeth.
Yeah, and you can't have it removed unless you go to a doctor.
Yeah.
So if you are raped, you have to... You live with either this thing on your dick, or you go and you have to admit that you were raped.
I haven't heard about that in years.
Me either.
Are they still giving it to
I don't know.
I just heard about that one night on a random Caribbean station. He just kept saying, "Have you guys heard about this? The new condom with teeth. The new condom with teeth." And he wasn't like going into any analysis about it or how it could help people. He was just fascinated by this new condom with
it's
teeth.
Simply a reaction.
Haven't heard about it.
Exactly. Simply a gut.
Just a reaction.
It's just a man screaming for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's it for
David
the show.
Levy. Yeah, and then there's the whole black people dying first or whatever. Yeah. Apparently Complex, I don't know why they would do this study, but they did a study about it and they were like, it only happens in like 15% of the time or 25% of the time. But still the black characters are just usually underdeveloped and not as fleshed out. So it seems like, wow, he was only there for a little bit, you know?
Which is how it usually is.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm very excited to see Get Out.
Get Out's gonna be fucking good.
Yeah. And then we can talk about wokeness in regards to horror films.
Yeah.
There was this woman, don't remember what the fuck her name was, but I'll link it later. She like has this whole blog and she like did this whole like little thesis piece about women in horror films and stuff like that. And honestly, her main shit was slasher films in the 1970s. So I don't know if any of these readings can be applied to any types of other horror films. But I'll just read what she said.
Yeah.
Scary films reveal and expose what truly frightens society through symbolism, particularly in the portrayal of women and femininity. Horror films in general use images of fear, physical and mental castration, sexual intercourse, feminine strength as a number of ways to exploit women in a way that is entertaining. I guess, if you think about it, slasher films are extremely women-centric. Oh, I forgot about The Chase. When there's like a monster murderer situation in the movie, women are shown 3 to 4 times more being scared and horrified by the monster than men are. So
interesting.
It's literally playing off of that. And then whenever like there is like a chase and like a kill going on, it seems like the kill with women is more dragged out and more like... It just seems sexual in nature. Like, did you see Hush? You saw Hush, right?
With the deaf woman.
Yeah. Like, at the end, where he's about to kill her and stuff. Oh, sorry.
Spoiler alert. Say it.
Like, he's like... So and then like, killers just tend to do this. Like, he's, like, mounting her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with his, like, big-ass crossbow and stuff. And just the way he was talking to her. They don't... treat men like that in slasher films, and Hush was a slasher film from what I can consider.
It seemed like it.
And then when she flips the table on him, she penetrates him, you know? It's always like and then also when she does penetrate him, it seems like it's all very sexual, honestly, that last scene. Like, she fucking corkscrews him in the neck and then his blood starts coming out like he's jizzing, and then he falls over as if he's just come and is like, huh, and then she falls over too, like, huh. Like, it's like a heightened sexualized scene.
I guess it's like sex and violence, how they're kind of like it's like cats fucking jump on people. Back to the conspiracy theories, but like people being attacked by animals during sex because animals think that you're being assaulted by your sexual partner.
Yeah.
It's just like there's a link between like violence and sex. Obviously, it's very clearly violence and sex, but I never saw it that way, but now that I'm like rethinking it. Totally.
I've seen it so sexually, and I was watching with 23 and he was like, "You just have a dirty mind." I'm like, "No, this is what the fucking director meant by this."
It's like, "This is what I studied, shut up."
Yeah.
Blood turns white.
And then there was this very little section about racialized sexism in horror films on Wikipedia. And I think that there is racism in horror films, and I think it tends to be either one, the underdeveloped character who's like tokenized, or two, like, oh, we're on this ancient like Native American burial ground or some shit like that. But to me, it's never like fully come together as like a race and sex thing. I don't know if you have any experience seeing that. Like, I've never seen a black woman even allowed to be scary in a horror film, which I think would be awesome. Like, last week, all those fucking folktales that we talked about would be great-ass horror films, but I've personally never seen that.
Yeah, those would be so fun.
Yeah, I would kill for a Lodge of Lust movie.
I'm trying to think, there's...
I would kill.
Pirates of the Caribbean, there's this one.
Oh, Thandi Newton's character?
Is that her name?
Yeah.
She turns into a giant thing, and she's just... Like that, she was so hot to me. But that's the only, like... I don't know if I can think of other women of... There's sometimes, like, witches... Mm-hmm. You know, witches or hags, but they're not really, they're just like kind of omens.
Yeah.
Usually they're not really.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so, but further research.
Yeah.
What's the last thing? Oh, films that make some type of commentary on sex and sexuality. So we've got the original Dracula. I forgot what year it came out. I feel like it was the 40s or something like that. But people talk about the fact that Dracula was like coded as a queer villain and was one of the first queer villains because of like his extravagantness and the fact that he was very well dressed and stuff like that. Like, he was like a pretty well-groomed villain as opposed to like a nasty monster, which is what regular straight heterosexual cisgendered men are.
They're all monsters.
Yeah. And then just even the way that he talks to this character, John Harker in the film or whatever, like, I made it the little something sexy 2 weeks ago, but, like, I think the guy gets, like, a fucking paper cut or something like that. So, obviously, Dracula has a boner because it's, like, blood and shit like that. And he's just like, and what's that? Or something like that. And John Harker's like, oh, it's just a cut or whatever. And then Dracula's like, oh, you want something to drink? And then he's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, oh, would you like some wine? And then the guy's like, yeah, sure. And then Dracula, he's like, you want some wine too? And Dracula's like, I don't drink wine anymore or whatever. Like, I'm going to fucking suck your blood, nigga. I'm going to suck the shit out of you. So he's just like playfully flirting with this guy or whatever. And then in the end, I think the whole time he's also driving the guy from his girlfriend the entire movie. And then also, in the end, a couple of women vampires, like, corner this dude. And then Dracula's like, no, 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 that's my dude or whatever.
Oh,
he, like,
I see.
Sucks his blood and shit. Okay. So, yeah, Dracula.
I wonder, has there ever been a horror movie where a vampire has, like, bitten a person's dick so that it's just bleeding and just gave them a blowjob while sucking their dick?
That is the movie we must make.
Because that's what I saw. And I liked it.
No, I don't think they were getting that crazy in
I
the
liked
40s.
It so much.
This was all an article on something that I'll link later because I can't remember. And they talk about Cabin in the Woods. Did you ever see Cabin in the Woods?
No, actually, I was texting it to myself just now because like,
it's very fun. It's a really, really fun movie. But basically, that's... It's not any particular genre or whatever, because the whole thing is that they're playing on different horror tropes and stuff like that. But, like, in the it's, like, the first movie where they really identify what the tropes are. Like, you'll see how they do it or whatever, but, like, the virgin is actually identified as the virgin. And there's, like, this funny part where they're, like, somebody's like, and you, the virgin or whatever. And she's like, uh-uh. And they're like, yes, you are. And she's like, no, I'm really not or whatever. But, like, she's thought to be the virgin because of how she acts or whatever, but
it's funny.
She's actually.
It's like, no, I've
she's
been
actually
around.
Getting around. Yeah, exactly.
I've been
it's a fun
way
movie.
Around. Okay.
It's a really
that's
really
good
fun
old
movie.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Do you like him?
I think so.
He hasn't done anything to offend your sensibilities.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I think he said like a woman should direct Wonder Woman, and that just makes sense. It's like for your basic bitch statement. I like you, dude. And then finally, good old It Follows. I think that's making a pretty clear commentary on sexuality. I don't know what the ultimate point that they were trying to make was, but, you know, it's a STD.
It's basically an STD.
It's an STD villain. It's an STD demon that follows you once you have sex.
Yeah, and
the
it's...
the person who has it.
And if you die, so you fuck somebody who has it, it'll follow you. It follows. But then if it kills you, it goes back to that original person.
Yeah.
It's interesting, because you can't just fuck STDs away. But I guess you never really get rid of it.
Well, it might not be STD or whatever, but it might just be, like, the stigma of having sex and like the gossip train of who you've had sex with or whatever. And once it like pulls down that other person, it's back to you.
Yeah.
Could be about that. God,
it's so scary.
It is very
disturbing. It just never stops.
Yeah.
The end is the worst part to me. God, it's like go somewhere.
That's all I've got. All
right. That was fun.
Horror movies and sex. That was
fun. I'm going to watch one this evening with this
American Horror Story.
Homemade almond milk based hot chocolate that I got from this recipe on Food Heaven Made Easy, a website that's powered by two black girls who are nutritionists. One of them based in like San Francisco, one based in New York.
Sounds like an ad. And I'm like, this is the perfect way to do an ad. Just make it relate to anything.
Yeah, I just love them. So many of their recipes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel thankful to people who make healthy recipes because I feel like you've contributed something so great to my life.
Very true.
Food Heaven Made Easy.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that, Coco.
Yeah, that's it for
Fuck It.
Now on to Fuck Me. The story about our lives. How about you?
Excuse me. How about you? So, it's been like a hard week. It's been a rough week. I think just like work is I'm just like liking work less and less. Like work was good because I got great things out of it. You know, I was able to produce a whole web series and work on it while still like providing for myself, which I feel like that's such a rare thing. Mm-hmm. Or it would have been like much, 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 much harder. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, so that was cool. But it's just like stressful now. So hopefully I'll find a new job or find a way to just be okay with whatever work I have to do at work. I feel like I've just been doing like a lot of like fighting the inevitable. Like I was just mad that I was hungry. And you know, like when little things are just like bothering you, like there's some sort of underlying root that's just not working. So I just feel like I'm just trying to move around the puzzle pieces and be like, okay, what can change to make things less annoying? Like, now that I don't work Fridays, like, I feel like my life is a little more free because now I'm like, oh, can't go anywhere Friday nights because I'm working. But now it's like, all right, I have a Friday and I have a Saturday, work Sunday, and then I have a Monday. And it's, like, pretty fucking baller. Mm-hmm. But, like, before, it was just killing me. So, yeah, and I also just feel like it's hard to be an independent creator because, like, there's not a lot of money coming your way.
There's no money coming.
There's not a lot of money coming your way, and you're trying to do something, and there's not a lot of support, because sometimes people just actively dislike what the fuck you're saying and doing, and it's just, like, trying to just stay motivated to, like, hey, I can just keep, just gotta do this shit, so I just feel like it's hard to find community, because I don't have that at work, you know, and, like, I have friends, obviously, you're one of them.
Thank you.
Lucas is another one of them. But it's like, you know, it's helpful to be around. Like, I met up with a friend who I've known since pre-K. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's a writer and she's working on a novel. And it's just, like, speaking with another writer about... It's like you just... There's some things that, like, you get so much from people going through exactly what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And so, like, depriving yourself of community is just... Not even depriving, but just being in a situation where it's hard to access a community of people like you is hard. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like the internet is great for finding people. But sometimes the internet is full of just really bad articles and people shitting on your entire life. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess I'm trying to find ways to just, I don't know. Because I feel like it's also hard to find a mentor. Like, people are like, oh, get you a mentor. It's like,
I'm sorry, do they sell them at Walmart?
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, you have to, like, find people and ask them if they'll give you the fucking time. And everything about being, like, an independent creator is like, it's going to be really hard for a really long time. It's like, okay, it is, but where's the help?
Yeah.
Where's the support? You know, where's the emotional? You know, like, you can't always go see people's shows. You can't always afford to pay people things, which, you know, so if you can't pay a bitch, don't pay a bitch. Because I'm not asking you to spend more than you can.
Self-care tip of the week.
Yeah. You don't have to pay a bitch. But, like, it's just, like, where's the emotional? Where's the encouragement? It's just not always easy to find. Or when the encouragement is there, it can be just blind to your particular circumstance. It's like, just follow your dreams, but, like, the people leaving out the fact that, well, if you have to work a certain amount of hours or you have to be home and do something, just, like, I like encouragement from people who get what I'm going through versus encouragement from people who are just have money to spend.
Yeah.
Time to spend.
Yeah.
It's been a rough week, but spoke with BJ, the Chicago kid, earlier, and he was like, I really like you, and I was like, oh, that's so nice.
That's always good to hear.
Yeah. It was because he was actually reacting to the last episode with where I was threatening to murder the people that he was
talking to. Damn. Yeah. That's what I like about you. You psychotic son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's like, do they leave their windows unlocked? Like, why am I like that? I don't know them.
That's funny.
I don't need to know them.
That's cool. Die.
But yeah. So that was like a nice thing. And John's always sweet and supportive and cooks 100% of the meals.
That sustain you as a human being.
So he's always like the backbone of support.
That's good.
Yeah. That is that. That's that.
Okay. Hope next week is better.
Thank you.
If it's not, we just have to kill next week.
How about that?
This week was pretty chill. This was Akeem's birthday week.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, so I'm just really poor, but I wanted to do something real nice for him or whatever. Because, I don't know, he's been helping me out at home a lot and stuff like that and showing, like, we were going through, like, a rough patch in our relationship. Maybe for a year, but definitely for the past couple of months where things started to come to a head where it's like things are... How do I say this? I don't know, just certain things and behaviors were not working and, like, certain things that I wanted, I was not receiving out of the relationship or whatever. Long story short. We've just been closer lately and stuff like that and, like, going to the gym and stuff, and he's been, like, helping me out and telling me, like, he loves me more and stuff and just, like, aww, things that I like, nice things that I need or whatever, like, especially from my fucking boyfriend, right? So, I don't know, his back is always hurting or whatever, so I was like, I'll just do a spa day for you.
Aww.
Especially because, like, I think for one of our anniversaries, he took me to the spa, and then maybe for my birthday, he took me to the spa, so I was like, I'll take you to the spa in my bedroom, because that's all I have access to right now. So, what did I do? First of all, I cleaned my room, which is not something that happens very frequently. Honestly, I'm a disgusting motherfucker. I am gross. But I cleaned my room, and... like, made the sheets all nice and, like, these nice, like, little... they weren't silky sheets or whatever, but they were, like, nice sheets or whatever. And I made it look like a massage table or whatever. And I made, like, a foot scrub for his feet and stuff like that.
Out of what?
Brown sugar, olive oil, and coconut oil.
Nice.
It's not good. So where did we start? Okay, first of all, I wanted it to be, like, a whole day or whatever, but it just couldn't happen because I am a caretaker or whatever. So he, like, helped me throughout the day, which was awesome because I felt bad that, like... parts of his day were getting taken away or whatever, but, like, he doesn't give a shit because he's just a really nice guy. So came over and made him a smoothie or whatever, and he was just sitting there with a smoothie, and I gave him wine, and he's having, like, stomach issues right now, so he, like, can't eat meat, so I made him, like, these vegan quesadillas and shit.
Sounds
and
delicious.
They were really fucking good, I must say.
What was in the smoothie?
Looking for recipes. The smoothie was peaches, strawberries, peach Greek yogurt, and OJ, and ice.
Nice.
Yeah, tasty. Quesadilla had to be whole wheat quesadillas.
Love it.
It called for, like, white beans, but I was like, I don't have that shit, so it's gonna be chickpeas, like, the rest of my fucking recipes. Black beans, garlic, tomato, chili powder, cumin. Fucking makes everything fucking Southwestern instantly. And then I made, like, a guacamole or whatever. It was good. So he had his, like, little quesadillas or whatever, and then later on, when, like, my dad came home to help me out, he went upstairs to his little spa thing, and I gave him, like, a little face mask or whatever, and I put the cucumbers on his eyes. A regular face mask. I didn't come on his face yet. And then... the cucumbers were too cold and they kept falling off, and I was like, I'm so sorry, but I really wanted him to have his cucumbers, but he didn't have his cucumbers. And then I gave him, like, a little hand scrub thing, and I cut his fucking nails because he never cuts his nails straight, so he has straight nails finally. I, like, filed them down and stuff, gave him a little hand massage, did the same thing as to his feet. They were worse, but not bad. And, like, gave him, like, little almond oil for his cuticles and stuff like that.
Is that good for your cuticles?
Yeah.
Why?
It's supposed to be. I don't know.
I have some.
Me too. Like, I have an almond oil cuticle thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a combination thing.
Shit. He got treated.
He did get treated. Nice. I scrubbed his feet, but, like, no amount of scrubbing can make some dead skin go away, so his feet might still be fucked up. That's okay, because he's, like, an athlete and stuff. And what he does at work, his feet are just gonna be fucked up.
Yeah, and
that's
you
kind of okay.
You need sometimes that to pad you from, like,
yeah,
dancers
exactly.
Get calluses and dry feet.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Need that so you can turn and do
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it's like years of. So, that happened or whatever, and then I gave one of the best massages I have ever gave in my entire life. I was pulling out all the fucking stops there. And sex happened, so all in all, it was good. I think that he enjoyed it. And then last night we went out for his birthday, and it was cool and fun. So yeah, it's good times with me and Akeem.
Sounds like a great birthday.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it was good. It was good. And then I was just having this thought earlier on the train about why I'm polyamorous, like how to fucking justify it to myself as if I don't already know. But it's like, just because things are going very well in one situation doesn't detract my feelings from another situation or whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm still sad that things are ending with me in 23. And just because things are going really well with me and Akeem, it doesn't even the whole past year where I was like involved with both of them, nothing ever, well, maybe like once or twice where feelings would like get crossed up or whatever. But like whenever I'm happy about one situation, it would never like impact the other mm-hmm. situation or whatever, or like make me feel less, like if I'm out with Akeem, I don't feel like less jealous of 23s with somebody or some like vice versa. And it's so
still that vengeful bitch.
I do want to kill them all. Yeah. I know where all of them
live. She always lives
everybody's there. Instagram, everybody who's involved with either one of them, I know about you. Hey girl. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah,
it's that fake bitch that you need to you need her, otherwise you have multiple bodies.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's fucking dope. It's a good ass birthday.
Yeah,
sounds like you had like fun doing it too. Like that's
yeah,
the thing.
I like to treat people I care about.
Right.
Although I did want to be a massage therapist at one point in my life, so maybe I like to treat everybody. But
like that guy who massaged my foot.
I'm sad things didn't work out there. I wanted you to get, like, a really dope-ass massage.
And some great-ass dick.
Yeah. Even if the dick wasn't good, like, I wanted you to get that great massage first.
Yeah.
And then if the dick is mediocre, at least he has to massage you again.
Yeah.
Because, like, your body has gone through wear and tear. He has to, like, fix it up again. Like, realign you.
So if there are any massage therapists in the fan base, hit me up.
That's a method of paying a bitch, honestly.
Yeah. Pay us with sex. But
I was just talking about massages.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about sex.
Or both.
Yeah.
Just like sex and violence. Massage and sex are very linked inextricably. Okay. Sorry. All right. So that's it for Fuck Me.
Now on to Fuck You. Story about your lives in which you email ihupodcast@gmail.com, or you comment on SoundCloud, or you DM us on Twitter or Instagram, or you give us a call,
you
send
text
a carrier
us.
Pigeon.
Yeah, or an owl.
I think carrier pigeons are actually extinct.
Wow.
I didn't know. Go back in time, send a carrier pigeon in a time machine to the year 2016.
Or put it in Draco's vanishing cabinet.
All right.
The vanishing cabinet.
So we've got a question from Gotta Love Mo, and this was actually on SoundCloud, so we take it from anywhere.
Yeah.
Especially in the butt.
Yeah. Take it from the butt.
Yeah. That's mine. What is it? Your rectum. I'm dating someone who I really like and enjoy spending time with. The foreplay is awesome, but the actual sex only lasts 5 to 10 minutes at most. We used to live in the same city, but I moved to a different state to attend grad school. He's planning to visit me for the weekend, and I want to talk to him about ways to prolong our sexual experience. Do you have any recommendations on how to initiate the conversations and techniques we can use? P.S. Your show is part of my weekly wellness routine.
Aww.
That's awesome. I truly love y'all. And we love you too.
I feel bad because I think this happened already then, didn't it? You said this weekend.
Sorry. We probably should have answered this last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're really sorry. But
oops, I didn't. Sorry. I would have prioritized the other one over the other one.
Notes.
In the case that this is going to happen again, or you haven't resolved this,
or
issue,
for other people who need advice.
Yeah, we're sorry. We failed.
Wow. It's funny because last week we were just like, "Go us, yay!" And that's the one we read last week where we were just patting ourselves on the back.
Yeah. She's like, "Wait, I need help. They're not helping me."
Yeah.
So it's advice on how to approach the longer sex.
Yes.
I know when John is trying to prolong sex,
mm-hmm.
he just eats me out for a little bit.
Okay.
Just to stop the stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's also like some desensitizing creams that can be used. Because you can always whiskey dick it. No, I'm just kidding. You don't want that. Nobody wants that.
Viagra.
I feel like in terms of talking about it, oh, I guess it is sensitive. It's like it could be a male ego thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just like, hey, I love having sex with you. If it can just be 5 to 10 minutes longer.
Ooh.
No, I don't want it.
It's like when your boss comes over to your desk and he just starts being a condescending asshole. Just 5 to 10 minutes longer, please.
Yeah, just
I don't know. Well, it might just be good to like be honest. Like, I would like to go a little bit longer, and I don't want to like hurt your feelings and stuff like that, and like give like mad compliments and stuff, and then ultimately he probably will feel some type of way and be hurt, especially because of how like the things like the pressures that we put on men to perform sexually and stuff like that.
Yeah, and this and is then that
you
nightmare.
Just gotta like coddle him through whatever he's feeling, like his bad feelings or whatever. Like, it's no fault of your own. We're having sex together. This is a partnership, and
exactly.
We just got to figure out ways together. It doesn't mean I don't like you sexually. I love having sex with you. That's why I want to have
more
sex longer.
Yeah. You could maybe if you're okay with this, maybe it doesn't, you can have sex multiple times.
Yeah.
If it is kind of short, you can just, because I think for some people for some men, it's really drawing from my experience with John. It's
some
just,
Johns.
Just some Johns in the world. just like the second or third time that we're having sex, if we were having like a short marathon, that it'll just last longer.
Yeah, that one, it's like, will you ever come?
Yeah, and I'm like, all right. But I'm happy.
Unless he doesn't want to, or maybe he has a very long refractory period. But I think what you said earlier, like switching between other different types of sex, because it doesn't always have to be penetration, like head... I don't know, whatever
the
opposite,
else
he wants
whatever
to do.
Else happens.
Yeah.
Hand massage.
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
Hand massage.
Yeah, you can intersperse other things in there.
Yeah.
You can also, I guess, I don't know what his, because I know some people, if they feel themselves coming, they can like kind of slow down, you know, just like do, like lessen the intensity of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know not everybody. Some people are just like, oh, I'm coming. So they could just barely warn you. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So.
Happens mid sentence.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
there it goes.
Yeah.
So, I guess you know.
I mean, sex doesn't have to stop at like the male orgasm or whatever. I'm assuming that. Well, he's a male because she said yeah. She said he. I think that she's a woman. But
that is what I assumed. If you're not a woman, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But not only did we give you late advice, but we fucked
after strategy. He comes, if she still wants like they still want penetrative sex, you know,
dildos
can be introduced into the situation, vibrators and stuff like that, strap-ons if she still wants to feel like the sensation of him thrusting against her and stuff like that.
Oh, I've never thought about a guy using a strap-on.
Yeah,
nice.
A lot of things that can happen.
Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah, and then if he's up for it, go another round. Maybe set out, like, whole days. Like, if he does have, like, a really long refractory period, just try to spend, like, 17 hours together. That way you can have sex every 4 hours. I don't know what my math
is
in that situation.
That's luxurious.
17-hour sex spree.
That's what we recommend here. Very practical
advice. I'm just
trying
to let you weigh all your options, honestly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have a lot of free time on my hands. And I have 17 hours to just have sex with no one, because no one else has that type of time.
It's just me and myself.
It's great. Those are masturbation marathons.
Yeah.
SamandPornhub.com. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got, too. Oh, I guess just all, as long as, just like what you're saying, what you're aware of is like a difficult, might be hard to hear. Mm-hmm. So definitely like give him some like pillows of love.
Yeah,
it'd definitely
exactly.
Be super sweet. Mm-hmm. This is not like the, by the way, your dick.
You're not going long enough, nigga. Fix it up or get lost.
It's like, oh, sorry, let's just sneeze. Excuse me. But yeah, but I think you can do this. And if, you know, what did you do? Did it work out last time?
Yeah.
The weekend that
maybe
we failed
you? Maybe
she
just didn't address the situation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, let us know how it went, because we want to hear how your sex goes.
We just fucked up her dick appointment.
He's also a member of the whole army, and he's like,
this sounds oddly familiar.
This sounds like
I have sex for 10 minutes. I just went to visit someone at school. Is it me?
It is.
Yes, Jared. No, I hope his name's not actually Jared.
That'd be funny.
Imagine. She's like, how did you always do it?
What a way to be. How did you know it was Jared? All right, that's it.
That's that.
Yeah, that's it for the Inner Ho Uprising.
Yeah.
Pay a bitch. PayPal.me/InnerHo.
Or tell people about us.
Yeah.
Tell people about us and get other people listening to us, because then instead of us harassing you for money, people will come to us and want to put ads on this show.
Yeah, exactly.
So really, thank you, number one, for helping spread the word, because we are growing mm-hmm. a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tell people about us, it helps us, the monetary value yeah. of this podcast increase, and we can just charge people mad money for ads.
When you're laughing on the train and people are like, what the fuck is she laughing about? Just be like, hey, it's the Inner Ho Uprising podcast.
Yeah.
You can find them on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Stitcher, or Google Play. You can also follow them on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at @slam_pow. You can also find them on YouTube at Slam Pow Productions. It's facebook.com/slampowproductions. You can find Slam at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, or Samanners on Facebook or Snapchat.
And you can also find Shanika on Instagram at Shanika Powell, and on Snapchat at Volcano Vulva. Say all of that.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Now, enjoy your ride.
And I'm going to leave you with a little something sexy, too.
You niggas are so fucking weak. Y'all got the audacity to be intimidated by a bad motherfucking queen and get your motherfucking feelings hurt. But it's old motherfucking K, because Barack needed a Michelle, bitch. And Bill needed a motherfucking Hillary, bitch. You better pray to God you don't get stuck.